Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is Monday, the 1st of December. Is that possible? My calendar says it's the 1st of December. My other calendar says it's the 1st of December. I guess it is the 1st of December. Well, this is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from a very cold, dreary Washington, D.C. It was dark at 4 o'clock here yesterday, ladies and gentlemen. Very ugly, rainy, cold day. They say the cold weather kills the germs. I wish it would kill a lot of the germs in Washington, but it doesn't seem to have done it before, and I don't have much expectation it'll do it again. Well, I have a few brief items I want to talk about with you here tonight. I want to bring an update on the controversy. I even hate to use the term controversy because it's such a small matter in the big picture, the controversy surrounding Alex Jones's most unfortunate misrepresentation of what my book Final Judgment says about the Kennedy assassination. Only in the context of, because I always find it interesting to see how our listeners react or don't react to such a matter. And then I'm going to bring you some more data about the very distinct fine hand of the Israeli connection in the events in Dallas, Texas, in Dallas, in the months preceding the JFK assassination. Now, that is of particular interest to me, ladies and gentlemen, because that material, well, I think the source of it is Jim Mars, because I received the material that I used for an addition to a more recent printing of the sixth edition of Final Judgment, the second printing of the sixth edition of the book. I received an anonymously written document, and what I'm going to do is I'm just going to read the materials to you as I rendered them based upon the material provided me, because I think you'll find it interesting. Many of you have, of course, read my book, Final Judgment, in one of its incarnations, of which there have been many. But the section that I added, The Myth of Dallas, New Revelations, was not included even in the first printing of the sixth edition of Final Judgment, but it was included in the second printing of the sixth edition. And this material is very, very interesting material. And while some in the marketing industry might say, oh, well, listen, don't give it to them for free. Let them order the next printing of the book in which you have it. I don't work that way, folks, because, you know, I like to get the truth out. And there's a lot of interesting truth here, a lot of interesting facts here that I was unaware of. Although I was busy researching Final Judgment, looking for Israeli connections and American Zionist connections under every rock, in every nook and cranny, in every hidden closet, in every dark alley, in every CIA and organized crime stronghold. I missed it right on the ground in Dallas, the city where they actually pulled off the crime. When I say they, I don't mean all Israel, as Alex Jones suggested in commenting upon my book. No, I mean, well, Israeli operatives, CIA operatives, perhaps a few stray Cubans, perhaps some organized crime folks. There were a lot of people who were brought into that conspiracy. Someone once described a JFK assassination as kind of like the assassination of Caesar, where everybody got to stick a knife in. That was the late Ace Hayes of the Portland Free Press, who, although Ace had a reputation of being kind of a liberal or a left-wing type, he was a very warm and friendly supporter of Final Judgment, and I appreciated his input and his comments. Ace is long gone, but he's one of these guys who acted without fear or favor. All right, stay tuned, folks. A few comments about a couple things, then we'll go on to more about the JFK assassination, some things that I'm sure you have never heard before. Stay tuned.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Now be honest, is your sex drive what it used to be? Don't ignore the warning signs. Prostate problems begin around age 40, and by 60, one out of every two men will have these symptoms, and they do not go away. Take Superbeta Prostate. It has 3,000 times more concentration of the key ingredient in saw palmetto. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same health benefits of one Superbeta Prostate. Try it risk-free for 30 days and give your prostate the nutrition it needs. For a risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848. With Super Beta Prostate, you get results or you get your money back. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click onto the Super Beta Prostate banner to learn more about the product.
Take a stand for health. Life Change Tea. We ship worldwide. France, Germany, London, Australia, Finland, and more. Join the thousands that are making the step for a healthy body. Flush out toxins, lower blood sugar levels, annihilate acid reflux, lose weight. You can do it. It's time for change. It's time for health. Grab life. Turn from death. The chemicals in the air will only get worse. Clean your body now with Life Change Tea. Order online, getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or call us. Friendly operators are standing by. 928-308-0408. You've heard it. 928-308-0408. Getthetea.com. It works.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. You know, I don't think I have commented as of yet on this program, and I certainly haven't written anything about it, nor have I really had much to say to anybody who I've talked with about it, and that's this matter of the tragedy in Mumbai. I did hear it correctly pointed out the other day by someone calling in. I believe it was the Liberty Hour here with Mark Glenn and Phil Turney, that we have almost been led to believe by the mass media in America that this was this whole thing that they were. Well, let's put it this way. There's been an awful lot of emphasis on the fact that a rabbi with dual U.S. Israeli citizenship died in those attacks. Well, it's a tragedy that anybody died in those attacks, but I'm here to assure you that there were, I believe, a couple hundred more people than that rabbi who died. But in any case, was it a false flag attack by Israel's Mossad? Well, the fact is Israel does have a history of carrying out attacks like these. But, you know, there are independent terrorists, so to speak, or independent people of violent tendencies, whether they qualify to be terrorists or not, who do things like this on their own. So I'm not even going to pretend to know or have any inside information about it. I'm not going to jump to any conclusions, but I will temper those comments with the fact that in Final Judgment, my very controversial book on the JFK assassination, which of course first came out in 1994, January of 1994, I had a whole chapter, which I still have in the book, entitled A Bad Habit, one of the early chapters, A Bad Habit, Israel's Use of False Flags in Global Terrorism, Pointing the Finger of Guilt Elsewhere. Over the years, the Israelis have utilized this tactic very cleverly, and of course, I do believe that to a large extent, this is exactly what happened in Dallas. That's why the crime is often blamed on the quote-unquote anti-Castro Cubans, or maybe sometimes even on Fidel Castro himself. And I must tell you, folks, I'm going to pat myself on the back here. I popularized that term, false flags. It was not very much in use prior to the time that I put it out in Final Judgment. I'm not claiming that I created the term, because I didn't. But I can tell you that I put it out there. It was out there for many, many years, long before the advent of the Internet. Then I started writing about it in American Free Press, and a lot of that stuff was picked up. And the term false flags has become very commonly used these days. And I'm here to tell you, I seldom take credit for much of anything, because I know better than to do that. But I'm here to tell you, this was the first time that term was put out there in a big way and reached widespread distribution. So I'm going to take credit somewhere for something, I guess. But anyway, talking about Mumbai, I don't know what happened. I'm not going to pretend to investigate. I'll leave that to others. Well, as you know, on this program, we do give credit where credit is due. And I'm here to tell you that Lara Friedman of Americans for Peace Now and Daniel Seidemann, an attorney in Jerusalem, and I do believe, based upon their names, that they're both Jewish, and they've written an article that was written exclusively for Washington Jewish Week, and their headline on the article is Real Tolerance Needed in Jerusalem. Last week, I pointed out how those hookworms led by A.B. Cooper and Marvin Heyer, who I'm occasionally known to refer to as Marvin Liar, their so-called Museum of Tolerance in Los Angeles is now going to have a branch in West Jerusalem on the site of what had been a large, historically significant Muslim cemetery. And the Israeli Supreme Court has ruled that this is A-OK. Well, thank goodness that Daniel Seidemann and Lara Friedman are speaking out against it. They write, whatever the Wiesenthal Center may have set out to achieve, the scheme has become a mockery of the very notion of tolerance. Its implementation, far from creating a beacon of hope, will send a clear message that Israel and diaspora Jews are not only intolerant, but oblivious and perhaps contemptuous of the concerns and sensitivities of others. They say, in Israel, many prominent Israelis who recognize what tolerance really means actively oppose the scheme. In America, it is time for true supporters of Israel to tell the Wiesenthal Center to stop the madness. Yes, folks, on this program, we do say nice things about nice people, whether they're Jewish or not. And in this case, two people who sound like they must be nice people, Daniel Seidemann and Lara Friedman, are now saying that there's something rotten in Jerusalem, and they've had the guts to speak out. They dare to speak out, ladies and gentlemen. In the meantime, talking about rottenness in Jerusalem, the Times of London says that the chances of an Israeli preemptive strike against Iran's nuclear facilities have become significantly higher in the last few weeks. Okay. Well, you say, so what? So what? Well, President George W. Bush, who still is in office, ladies and gentlemen, has said that the United States would come to Israel's aid if Israel were attacked by Iran. Now, folks, I'm here to ask you this question. Do you think that if the Israelis attack the Iranians, that the Iranians will not strike back? Are they just supposed to roll over because Israel is the home of God's chosen people and the apple of God's eye and the favorite place in the world of that good man of God, John Hagee? Are the Iranians just going to sit back and let their people be murdered and their nuclear facilities be destroyed and God knows what else of the Iranian infrastructure? And then, of course, we have our new Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, who said that if during the campaign, her failed campaign for the presidency, she said the United States would obliterate Iran if Iran attacked Israel. Well, I guess that would also mean that would happen if Iran fought back against Israel. This is the problem, ladies and gentlemen. That's the problem right here in the front page of Washington Jewish Week, dated November 27th. the Israeli National Security Council foresees two possible Iran-related diplomatic developments that could hurt Israel. Number one, a U.S.-initiated dialogue leading to rapprochement between Iran, the United States, and the Arab world. Or number two, the U.S. building a wide international coalition against Iran, for which Israel might be forced to pay a price. So this is from Washington Jewish Week, ladies and gentlemen, reporting from the Jewish Telegraph Agency News and Features, an article by Leslie Susser, S-U-S-S-E-R, forgive my lisp. That's S as in Sam, U as in universe, Sam, E as in Edward, R as in retribution. So the Israeli National Security Council thinks that a rapprochement between Iran, the United States, and the Arab world would be a bad thing. Peace is bad. That's what they're saying. Peace is bad. Or what else is bad is the U.S. building a wide international coalition against Iran. In other words, Israel wants to be guiding it all. Israel doesn't want to be on the sidelines. Israel wants to be in the middle of it. Folks, these are their words, not mine. And as I've said here repeatedly, you know, my words, as I write them and say them, are subject to debate. They're subject to inspection. They're subject to critique. But what I don't like is people putting words in my mouth and then criticizing them, or saying that I've written something that I haven't written. And that gets right to the root of this whole Alex Jones affair. You know, it's funny, Alex is probably not even mentioned once in his program, nor would I expect him to, because, you know, I can't hope to compete with the biggest name in Patriot Talk Radio. And it makes very little difference to him one way or the other if I criticize him or call him to task for not having represented my writings correctly. But as I say, you know, I have received, you know, some emails from some people who have been very supportive of the position I've taken. And then there's others who have said that I shouldn't have even criticized Alex at all for criticizing me. And then they have cited, you know, how it's so nice for patriots to stick together and work together and everything. But, and then people seem to think that I'm criticizing Alex for not talking about Israel. I repeat again for about the 19th time for those out there, and there are a few who don't seem to understand it quite yet. I am not criticizing Alex Jones for not taking tough enough a stand on Israel. I am criticizing Alex Jones for materially misrepresenting the thesis of my book, Final Judgment, to a degree that would mislead anyone who had never read the book to dismiss the book in its entirety out of hand without ever reading it. That is incorrect. That is wrong. That's wrong, wrong, wrong. It is indefensible. The facts are the facts. Alex said what he said, and he shouldn't have said it. And again, once more, I will repeat before we go to the break, if Alex didn't read the book, he should not have then commented as he did. And if he did read the book, he was being disingenuous. Now, it's as simple as that. There is no excuse for what Alex Jones did, and that's what I took issue with. But aside from all that here tonight, when we come back from the break, I'm going to give you and Alex and Robert Groden some real hardcore facts about Israeli connections in Dallas that certainly helped expedite the JFK assassination conspiracy. A lot of this material came as an utter surprise to me, folks, and I think you'll be interested in it as well. Stay tuned.
There are many types of storable foods, but how about a superfood that contains every nutrient that the human body needs for survival? 50% protein, 300 milligrams of potassium per ounce, and calcium and magnesium for your heart and bones, with many more nutrients found in this incredible food source that the government does not want you to have. This product is available in powder, seeds, and oil, and is shipped free to your door in the U.S. This product is illegal to grow in the U.S., but is legal to import. Don't waste time thinking about storing food. Plan ahead and prepare for yourself and your family now, and be in control of your destiny. You can save and invest your money, but in the end, food will be your greatest asset. Remember what the Word of God says in Ezekiel 7:19. Call 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Remember, food will be your greatest asset. Call 908-691-2608. This product does not contain THC. Call 908-691-2608 today.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Are clear.
The worldwide economic collapse is here.
The military is being positioned for martial law.
The mark of the beast is at hand.
Governments are calling for a new world cashless economic system.
Having a long-term food solution is your only hope.
To stay free.
Now, Survivalist Seeds introduces their Escape the Beast Kit. 24 varieties of all-natural, non-genetically modified heirloom seeds.
For true patriots and homesteaders wanting food insurance.
That's over 5 pounds of rare historic seeds.
For a penny per seed.
15,000 seeds that will feed a family healthy food for 7 years. Big John Lipscomb, host of Don't Tread on Me, is including an instructional DVD that will teach you how to earn big money selling the produce from his incredible heirloom seeds back to him, restaurants, and small delis.
Don't buy from copycats. Their fancy packaging is not free.
Order today before it's too late. SurvivalistSeeds.com.
That's SurvivalistSeeds.com.
A long-term food solution.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. I'm going to occupy quite a bit of the time here to bring you this information because, as I say, the only people that would have this information would be people who read the second printing of the sixth edition of Final Judgment. That's about 5,000 people read that edition of the book. Incidentally, the book is now out of print. Although you can get an ebook version of it online at MichaelCollinsPiper.com, a subsidiary of AmFirstBooks.com. All right, well, here goes, folks. Just the facts. As the second printing of the sixth edition of Final Judgment was being readied for press, a detailed 19-page anonymously written document cited with 115 footnotes, relying on a wide variety of mainstream sources, arrived in my mailbox. The document was an envelope with no return address. It was postmarked Dallas, Texas. Now, it's interesting that this very well-written item started off with a passing criticism of Final Judgment, saying that the book was far from perfect. Anyway, this thing was entitled The Kennedy Assassination and Israel, Some Dallas Connections. This document, which was apparently the work of a professional journalist or writer, focused on, quote, the specifics of how the Israelis could have influenced the events in Dallas. And what this document did, ladies and gentlemen, was fill in details that I had never explored in previous editions of Final Judgment. Well, the data is quite explosive, particularly when you contrast it with the mythology regarding the Dallas, regarding the city of Dallas as it's repeated ad infinitum in JFK literature. But if you understand the real Dallas, not the city of legend and of Hollywood drama, it prepares you for what I had already written about in Final Judgment, and now tied it all together in a way that just absolutely amazed me. The document buried the tired old myth that a clique of anti-Semitic, white Anglo-Saxon, Protestant oil plutocrats ruled Dallas. Instead, the truth was quite the opposite. Not only did Dallas have an immensely powerful Jewish community, but more importantly, the city and Texas itself had been a major center of fundraising and arms smuggling on behalf of the Zionist cause going back to the 1940s. Even Jonathan Pollard, the American spy for Israel, said he was inspired to pro-Israel activism by stories he heard while living in Texas of gun running for the Israeli underground by Jews in Texas. In fact, now, ladies and gentlemen, all these details I'm giving you were not things that I dug out. They were dug out by this professional writer, whom I suspect, frankly, was Jim Mars, who then sent this to me anonymously. In fact, the official published history of a major Zionist arms smuggling operation known as the Sonneborn Institute reported that its agents smuggled aircraft parts out of Texas to Israel. Now, this is interesting. They were smuggling aircraft parts out of Texas to Israel just at the time when a recently discharged Army Air Corps aircraft mechanic, Jack Ruby, was resettling in Dallas in 1947. That's when Sonneborn's activities were at a zenith. Now, Ruby later bragged of having run arms to Israel, according to FBI documents that were brought out by researcher, Jewish American researcher A.J. Weberman. And according to Dr. William Pepper, as we now know, Ruby was known to have been part of an Israeli arms smuggling operation in the Southwest, overseen by an Israeli intelligence officer. So the Israeli connection to Texas was a lot more intimate than many today ever realized. Now, in 1963, JFK's primary interest in Dallas was raising money from the Dallas elite, and that meant, folks, the wealthy pro-Israel Jewish Democrats who were major financial angels for the ruling Democratic Party there. Now, of course, since JFK was at that time at loggerheads with Israel over its nuclear program, it's critical to recognize how JFK was lured to Dallas and who was in charge of the arrangements that actually facilitated, in the end, his assassination. Now, it's known, well known, among JFK researchers that the Dallas leg of JFK's Texas trip was sponsored by the Citizens Council. That's an elite business group that ruled Dallas. Now, in most JFK literature, we're led to a lot of people get it confused, and they think that Citizens Council was the same as the White Citizens Council. And they say well, there were all these, you know, Texas oil money and this and that, you know, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant anti-Semite racist. No. The elite business group that ruled Dallas, the Citizens Council, fact is, two of the three key figures who dominated the Citizens Council were Jewish. These were the folks who really ran Dallas, not conservatives as affiliated with the John Birch Society, as the old legend suggests. In 1963, one of those Jewish power brokers was an outspokenly pro-Israel liquor wholesaler, Julius Schweppes, who held the distribution rights in Dallas for the Bronfman family's Seagram's products. Now, as I've written further in Final Judgment, there's evidence that Jack Ruby was actually himself on the payroll of the Bronfman family, and their fingerprints are found all over the JFK assassination conspiracy. So here we have one of the rulers of Dallas, Julius Schweppes, part of this Citizens Council that was in charge of the arrangements for JFK in Dallas, setting the parade route, setting the location of where JFK spoke. Powerful family connected right to the Bronfmans, who in turn were connected to Clay Shaw. Orleans, it goes on and on and on. But there's a lot more details here, folks, and we're gonna go into them. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Now be honest, is your sex drive what it used to be? Don't ignore the warning signs. Prostate problems begin around age 40. And by 60, one out of every two men will have these symptoms. And they do not go away. Take Super Beta Prostate. It has 3,000 times more concentration of the key ingredient in saw palmetto. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same health benefits of one Super Beta Prostate. Try it risk-free for 30 days and give your prostate the nutrition it needs. For a risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848. With Super Beta Prostate, you get results or you get your money back. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click onto the Super Beta Prostate banner to learn more about the product.
Howdy, gardeners. This is Mike from Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company. We carry America's largest selection of heirloom seed, all non-hybrid, non-GMO, and non-Monsanto. We offer 1,200 varieties that our grandparents grew, vegetables that helped us survive the Great Depression. Varieties that our founding fathers grew, and varieties that not only survive but thrive in today's gardens. All our vegetable seed is open pollinated, which means you can save your own seed from generation to generation. Want to learn more about heirloom seeds and what the government is doing to control our food supply? If so, request our free 124-page seed catalog. And today, we offer you our Homestead Collection, 60 full-size packs of pure heirloom seed for $83 postpaid. That's 60 fresh packets of seed for just $83. Call us today to order your free catalog or our seed collection at 866-OLD-SEED. That's 866-OLD-SEED or go online to oldseed.com. That's oldseed.com.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here at republicbroadcasting.org. Talking about the truth about Dallas, the myth of Dallas. Okay. Before the break, talked about two of the three key figures in the Citizens Council, the big elite business group that ruled Dallas. Two of them were Jewish Americans. No, they weren't white Anglo-Saxon Protestant members of the Ku Klux Klan and members of the John Birch Society. Now, this group actually gained control of the Dallas leg of JFK's Texas trip. This is interesting. Since JFK's Dallas trip was officially designated as non-political, in contrast to other stops in Texas, such as those in Houston and Austin, which were designated political, the private entities paying for the Dallas trip gained control of the planning, and that took it out of the hands of the Democratic National Committee, which was controlled by John F. Kennedy. Well, the Citizens Council designated a host committee, and the chairman of that host committee was Sam Bloom, who was a longtime executive director of the Citizens Council, and also a very highly regarded Jewish leader in Dallas. Now, I don't have the original notes with me in front of me, but unless I'm mistaken, he used to be the president of the same synagogue that Jack Ruby attended. In any case, what's interesting is there was an immediate confrontation between Mr. Bloom, representing the Dallas elite, and Jerry Bruno, who was JFK's veteran advance man. Bruno wanted the president to speak at the Women's Building, but the rulers of Dallas insisted that JFK speak at the Trade March. Now, although Bruno fought long and hard, after much pressure, the Dallas elite prevailed, and this caused Bruno, this JFK loyalist, to comment, quote, This was one of the few fights like this that I had that I lost. On things like this, my judgment was usually taken. This time, it wasn't. Now, by forcing JFK to speak at the trademark, which is really what they did, folks, the Dallas elite positioned the JFK motorcade to take the now infamous dogleg turn into what was the classically sniper-friendly kill zone on Elm Street, just below the Texas School Book Depository, from where they claim Lee Harvey Oswald fired the fatal shots. The spot was also in easy range of the grassy knoll and the nearby Dow Tex building, where people believe snipers were also located. Now, you see, had JFK's advance man, Jerry Bruno, prevailed, as he usually did, JFK, on his way to the preferred location, the women's building, would have traveled two blocks further away from the school book depository, out of the kill zone proper, at a greater speed, probably much greater speed. Now, although the Secret Service objected for security reasons to the publication of JFK's motorcade route, Bloom, the point man for the Dallas elite, nonetheless made sure a map of the route was repeatedly published in Dallas papers. Thus, later, when Lee Harvey Oswald, the patsy, was in custody, there was a plausible explanation as to how he knew JFK would pass by his workplace. Now, talking about the Dow Tex building as a possible location there in Dealey Plaza of another assassin, this is very, very relevant in the context of an Israeli connection. The Dow Tex building was co-owned by David Weisblatt, who was a major financial backer of the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith. The Dow Tex building housed on different floors a number of firms that utilized the telephone number of Morty Friedman, an attorney, garment manufacturer, and activist in Jewish affairs. Now, one Dow Tex firm linked to Friedman was the Dallas Uranium and Oil Company. And that's interesting, of course, because JFK was working to stop Israel's nuclear arms program, which received smuggled uranium from U.S. sources. But listen to this. One of Friedman's Dow Tex business partners in another company was Abraham Sapruder, the Jewish dress manufacturer who filmed the assassination. And as you probably know, there are some people who believe that Sapruder may have had advanced knowledge of the assassination. I don't go so far as to say that, but when you look at all these details together, it's kind of interesting. Now, once Lee Harvey Oswald was in custody, it was the same Sam Bloom who had earlier maneuvered JFK into the kill zone who pressured Elgin Krall, the Dallas city manager, to in turn pressure Dallas Police Chief Jesse Curry into making Oswald accessible to the press and to move Oswald publicly from the Dallas police station to the city jail. I'm going to repeat that. It was Sam Bloom who set JFK to speak at the trademark and thus go through Dealey Plaza, who also pressured the city manager to in turn pressure the Dallas police chief into making Oswald accessible to the press and to move him publicly from the Dallas police station to the city jail. So the situation was in place for Jack Ruby to move in for the kill. There are several sources, including Dallas FBI agent James Hostie, who stated Bloom and his backers were the forces behind this. And you know what? When the police searched Jack Ruby's home, they found a slip of paper with Bloom's name, address, and telephone number on it. Well, as I've written here, so it is that the Dallas myth comes to an end. This will be painful for those liberal researchers and others who thought the city was an anti-Jewish stronghold ripe for Nazi revolution. Instead, Dallas was actually an outpost for the advancement of the interests of Israel, and today it very much remains so. Now, you know, Walt Brown wrote an interesting book called Treachery in Dallas. He's one of the elite JFK researchers. He has said that the Dallas elite were the prime movers behind the assassination of JFK. But elsewhere, he said, it wasn't done by Mossad, as some would have us believe, referring to yours truly, Michael Collins Piper. However, as I say, in light of the big picture of Big D, details that Brown ignored or suppressed, we have to take a look at the JFK assassination in a new way. And it just doesn't involve Dallas. It involves all of the connections to the murder of President Kennedy. Now, folks, I guarantee you, you've never heard these details before. They were all new to me, but they say quite a bit. Well, that's all I have to say on that subject for the moment, but I'm going to keep on kicking this dead horse, no insult intended, at President Kennedy. I'm going to keep on kicking it because these facts need to be out there, and we can't have people spreading the word the Nazis killed JFK or spreading the word that, well, I could go on, but I won't. Well, we do have time for a couple callers. Let's go to Dave in South Carolina. Dave, come on up.
Good evening, Mike. How are
you? How you doing, Dave?
Hey, it's great to hear you again and great to speak with you. Yeah, just for an example of this cryogenic thaw process that these guys generally use concerning JFK and all these other incidents that happened, were these incredible episodes that everybody in the country, you know, half of the people at least go, wait a minute. You know, when I was at work that day, this guy who was wanting to, he spoke with his wife on every single little opportunity he could on his cell phone when 9/11 happened. And the first thing was, oh, my God, a plane crashed into the World Trade Center. And by lunch, of course, it was terrorists blew the buildings up and they collapsed. And at that point, at his lunch break, and I told the guys, Mossad done it. I mean, it was so obvious. You know? I want to, man, I really want to get a copy of your book. I don't have it yet. I did write in to Alex. I don't know if you got my email or not referring to that. But I just pointed out to him, this guy is challenging the fact that, I heard the show that day, too, when he was, him and Mars and Grodin were saying, oh, no, the Israelis could not have had any influence over what happened, you know.
Right here tonight, you heard how the very people connected, the Bronfmans, who were had their fingerprints all over the JFK assassination, even going into New Orleans with Clay Shaw. I mean, here they had their fingerprints all over Dallas, the guy who set the whole thing up, the guy who made Oswald available to the media, you know, made it possible for Jack Ruby to fire the fatal shots that killed him, I mean, you know, they said very specifically on the show that there was no way that the Israelis had any connections at the lowest levels. If anything, we found out here tonight, yes, indeed, they did.
Well, you know, they perhaps, let's see, they had connections on the lowest level and, of course, on the highest levels.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the thing that these people miss, is because it's so blatantly obvious. But concerning another book you wrote, concerning the Golem, which America apparently is, of Israel, in that regard, I'm sure you've studied up on this since you wrote that book. Do you feel like perhaps the Jewish people do indeed have the Amalek spirit within them?
Mm-hmm.
They destroy everything they touch eventually. It seems to be a pattern that they've done for, you know, thousands of years. Everything they get a hold of, they ruin. And, of course, they get kicked out and they go somewhere else and start all over again.
Yeah, I mean, it's, we're at a precipice right now. As I was talking about earlier with this matter of Iran, and, of course, Iran revolves around Iran's nuclear bomb, alleged. And, of course, who is the first country in the Middle East to have the nuclear bomb, and why do these other countries want nuclear weapons? Israel.
Bingo.
And it brings us right back to the JFK assassination. one of JFK's key concerns, and this is not my wording, you can find it in a number of sources, one of his key concerns was nuclear proliferation, and as one source had put it, even though he was very much concerned about the French pursuing nuclear weapons, he was more so concerned with Israel pursuing nuclear weapons.
Of course.
So here we come, all these years later, where we have not gotten away from the fact that Israel's nuclear weapons were at the centerpiece of the administration of our 35th president, and now with our 44th president coming into office, nuclear proliferation in the Middle East is at the center of all the intrigue that's going on around us.
Indeed. One question for you, and I'll let you go.
Yeah.
What is your opinion of the fact that the Israelis may even have the United States sighted in with its nukes? And, of course, the fact that you pointed out was that they provide the security for many of the nuclear installations and water
yes,
supplies.
You know, as a matter of fact, I just found out today, and I forgot to mention it, I'm glad you did. It turns out that the Israelis, an Israeli firm, has won a contract to secure sensitive areas of Vatican City.
Oh, ain't that great? Ain't that great? On that note, I'll let you go right here. But
all right, Dave.
Okay,
good
thank
talking
you, Mike.
To you. All right, we also have another Dave with us. Dave in Massachusetts. Let's bring Dave up.
Michael.
Dave in Massachusetts.
Yeah, Michael.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, hey, I was at a wake and I just tuned in about 10 minutes ago. I won't. I don't have too much to say, but I'll just say this, Michael. You know this Teddy Kennedy, Michael. What kind of a man is he? I mean, to me, how can he continue to legitimize and validate this evil government that's murdered his brothers and murdered his nephews? And
I don't think he has much of a choice.
But if it was me, I wouldn't have anything to do with that government. He's wealthy. He doesn't have to be a senator. Why doesn't he just go into private life and just keep
you know,
a low profile?
That requires delving into psychology, and I will leave it up to a Jewish psychiatrist to figure that one out. I know your point. I understand your point exactly, and it's
hard to say. Whenever I see him on the news or anything, I mean he just talks like a man, like everything's honky dory or something. I mean he doesn't behave like a man whose brothers and nephews and all his relatives have been practically wiped out by
you know people. I would maybe make a guess without getting too psychological. I would maybe make a guess that you know, he was already in the Senate by the time his brother was assassinated, and you know, of course, he had future ambitions of winning the presidency himself. And, you know, in the back of his mind, I'm sure he was thinking that if he could ever get elected president, that maybe he could make some real changes. But he fell into a rut. And, you know, Ted Kennedy was probably, he certainly was the last Kennedy they ever thought would be elected president, you know, of those brothers. And I do believe he had a heavy burden on him, a psychological burden, a great family burden, a great political burden, a great public relations burden. And, well, he's never going to be president, and I don't think there ever will be a Kennedy who will ever be president for the simple reason they just aren't going to take the risk of letting a Kennedy in the White House to do mischief.
Yeah, you know, I just don't know, you know, especially when they killed John F. Kennedy Jr., when they murdered him and everything, how he can just go on like
well, you know people, those people at those higher levels, Dave, you know, they think a little bit differently than we do, and maybe his attitude, and again, now I'm just kind of guessing, maybe his attitude that the best protection for the rest of the family is to just go along playing the game. I mean, it's obvious that Bobby Kennedy fully intended to try to, and knowing the kind of guy Bobby Kennedy was, you know darn well that he would have tried to avenge his brother's murder. And that's why they could never let him in the White House. And in fact, they did not. All right, Dave, well, listen, thanks for your call. We'll bring up Mark from Kentucky right when we come back. We are going to the break, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned. We'll wrap it up here with Mark from Kentucky.
Stock market is crazy. The chemtrails are spraying us with their chemicals. It's time to think about what is important. Most forget just how important life is. Life Change Tea removes toxins, chemicals, parasites, and bacteria that store up in your body. It cleanses you and gives you results in hours. And one of the wonderful side effects from this product is you lose weight. That's right, you lose weight. And on top of that, there's a 45-day money-back guarantee. So why wait? Call now. Operators are standing by. 928-308-0408. I'll say it again. 928-308-0408. Or order online at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. And remember, stock market may crash, but you don't have to go with it.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Now be honest, is your sex drive what it used to be? Don't ignore the warning signs. Prostate problems begin around age 40, and by 60, one out of every two men will have these symptoms, and they do not go away. Take Superbeta Prostate. It has 3,000 times more concentration of the key ingredient in saw palmetto. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same health benefits of one Superbeta Prostate. Try it risk-free for 30 days and give your prostate the nutrition it needs. For a risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848. With Superbeta Prostate, you get results or you get your money back. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click onto the Superbeta Prostate banner to learn more about the product.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system that has proven and guaranteed results for 15 years? I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My system has helped tens of thousands of people that realized they had way too much credit card debt or just could not or did not want to continue paying credit card companies.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees. I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
I have trained over 80 attorneys in at least 15 states on how to use my system and get their clients out of debt in 90 days. But you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors. No need to pay legal fees or make a federal case out of your situation. Call my team today at 321-747-0264 or visit johnglia.com and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. That's 321-747-0264 and johnglia.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We're wrapping up the hour. We've got Mark from Kentucky. Mark, come on up.
Yeah, I like to play a game that I play with people on JFK assassination, and I want to talk a little bit about Alex. First of all, I asked people, I said, well, who's the one person that could have took the stand and could have solved the murder of JFK if he was allowed to live? And what would most people say? Lee Harvey Oswald, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, who shot Lee Harvey Oswald? What would most people say? Jack Ruby. No, Jack Rubenstein, which is something that you brought up in your own book.
And you know, it's funny. That's a very, very simple equation, and it really does say a hell of a lot.
Yes, it does. And as far as Alex Jones is concerned, you know, I used to be a big listener to Alex Jones, and I even went on the fifth anniversary of 9/11. I talked to John Statmiller, of all people, and I asked him, I said, I don't really listen to Alex Jones anymore, and he started talking to me about it, and I kind of like looked at him. I said, I'm a big fan of Michael Collins Piper. And he's like, yeah, I like Michael a lot. And I said, well, I said, I've noticed that Alex never will touch anything about the Israeli situation or about the Mossad or about Zionism. And he looked at me and he said, yep, not with a 10-foot pole.
You know, in all fairness to Alex, occasionally he does put on a fright mask and say boo to Israel. But
but my problem with him is that I've like seen him on YouTube. I looked up something on Zionism and Alex Jones on YouTube. And my problem is that he at one point said, well, you know, the Rockefellers are the ones that that put the land and the money to put up the UN and all that. Are the Rockefellers Jewish? No, but their Jewish satellites, backers was the Rothschilds.
That's right.
And on top of it, they put that land where the UN was. That was on top of a kosher slaughter house.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And see, the thing of it is, and they said that how that when the UN first located there, how it seemed to have a magical, mystical quality. That's because it had blood all over it.
That's interesting. That's very, very interesting. And I did not know that. And it's a little fact that I almost wish I didn't know.
Yeah, I mean, when you start looking at this, and I want people to honestly look at Alex Jones, and I've done my research on Alex Jones. He's never really properly explained the John Joseph Gray situation to me. And then on top of that, I looked at it, and I found out that when he was in college, you know what his major was?
What?
Marketing.
Well, I'm not going to hold that against him. Everybody's got to have some sort of major. Mine was political science.
Well, I understand that, but it does answer the question why he's always like, buy my video, and so on and so forth. I mean, these are marketing strategies he's learned in college.
Well, you know, he probably learned more from doing it on his own than in college, but I see your point.
Yeah, I mean, there's I've done a lot of research on it, and I'm not saying that, hey, he hasn't done some things that are positive with the Waco situation and all that, but it gets to a point where when he starts having people on giving out this info about what your book is about and everything, I think he does more harm than good. Doubt.
Well, see, that's exactly, thank you for saying that, Mark, because that is exactly what my problem was, you know, with what he did. If no one had called in there and mentioned the book, I wouldn't have gotten on the air and said, oh, well, Alex Jones didn't mention my book, boo hoo 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 hoo. But when somebody did mention my book, Alex went out of his way to basically dismiss the book, and in the course of doing so, he misrepresented my book. He could have just said, oh yes, I've heard about the book, and said nothing more, but he didn't.
Yeah.
All right, Mark, we're running out of time here. I appreciate your call very much. Thanks for calling. Apologies to those we couldn't bring up here this evening. Gold has been